you.
Good morning. Hello. My name is John Crace. Thank you for everyone coming today. Thank you, Pastor Evan, for having me here. So for those who haven't met me before, I was here nearly, it's either over a year or a year today. But I was here a year ago and gave my heart about Estonia. That's where I'm going. I'm a missionary associate with Assemblies of God World Missions, and I am going to Estonia for 1 year. And so I shared about that about a year ago now, and I am still here support raising. And thank you, guys. You guys support me monthly, and you guys have been supporting me monthly since then. So thank you guys so much. Thank you for your prayers as well, because without that, this would have been a lot harder of a journey to get here. But good news is that I am leaving in May, so we are getting out of here and spending time in Estonia. But just a little bit about me, in case you haven't met me before. I'm 24 years old. I graduated from U of M. Dearborn, didn't go to the Ann Arbor one, so I'm not too fancy. But go Blue, we're national champions, yeah. But I got a bachelor's degree in business administration, majored in accounting. So it was really fun for God to tell me after I graduated college, be like, you're actually going to do something completely different with the rest of your life. And so that was a fun experience to deal with. But before missions, I was called into youth and young adult ministry, which is what I do over at Woodland Church in Brownstown, just down Telegraph. And I'll talk a bit more how that ties into Estonia later. But for now, a lot of people ask me where even is Estonia, which is a fair question. It's a pretty small country. It's 1.3 million people, so pretty small. But to the east of it is Russia. To the north of it is the Baltic Sea and Finland. And to the south of it is Latvia. Estonia is a pretty successful country. In your normal ways, you measure success in a country. They have the fastest growing economy in Europe. They have the most tech startups per capita than any other country in the world. So if you've ever heard of Skype or you used Skype back in the day, well, that was actually founded in Estonia. And another neat thing is like they even have little robots on the sidewalks that will clean up the sidewalks for them. But, you know, we can look on the outside of Estonia and see how shiny it is. But when we look on the inside of Estonia, we can see how lost and how dark they are. There's three things that God really broke my heart for Estonia about, and that is they are world leader in suicide and depression rates. 1 in 6 Estonians are sexually abused before the age of 15, and they are 3 generations removed from the gospel, meaning children, parents, and grandparents have no affiliation with the gospel, which makes 90% of the people in Estonia not believing in a God or a spiritual being at all. So there is an obvious need for Jesus in Estonia, but why am I going? Why am I passionate about mission work? And to start off, I have to come up here and be like, hi, I'm a missionary associate with Assemblies of God. But ultimately, right, when we give our hearts to Christ, we're saying yes to being missionaries. We're saying yes to sharing the good news with people and to bring people to Jesus and for them to have a relationship with him. So it doesn't matter whether you do it here in your community. I do it over in Estonia. We're all working towards the same goal. And sometimes it can be a little difficult. We can get discouraged in the moment. We can feel, oh, maybe this is my own thought. Maybe this isn't the Holy Spirit. Or, maybe we get in our head and we get anxious about approaching someone and asking just to pray for them. And so that happens to me all the time. And so there's a checklist that Jesus kind of reminds me of when I feel those ways, because anxiety, nervousness, discouragement, those aren't emotions or feelings that God gives us, right? God gives us peace. God gives us joy, right? And so I'm going to go over my checklist of things that I feel like Jesus shares for me in those moments. And hopefully it can encourage you to continue to do what you're doing, or encourage you to take that step of boldness to talk to someone and share Jesus with that person. So my first point is it's our purpose, right? In John chapter 4, verses 36 and 38, it says, Jesus says this, "The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike? You know the saying, one plants and another harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you'll get to gather the harvest." See, how good does it feel if someone, a friend or a parent or just someone trusts you to do something? Like, just raise it, see a hands. Like, if it feels good to be trusted. And here, Jesus is telling us that he's giving us a job. He trusts us to be harvesters and planters. Why else would he tell us that we are to be harvesters and planters if he didn't trust us? And so we have the trust of our Savior, right, to do these things. And what I like about this, these verses are, you can't plant and harvest from the porch, right? Both actions require the person to be in the field. So if you're planting, right, planting and harvesting is almost the same action, because when we're in the field and we're planting the seeds, we might not be the first person that person has had an interaction with that has told them about Jesus. And so that initial plant, that initial seed that was planted, that could allow us to now harvest and bring them to Jesus even closer. And so while we're all planting and harvesting, we're all working towards the same thing. And one part I like is, "And the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life." Seeing someone know Jesus and accept Jesus for the first time is way better than any 401k plan, any IRA that I can think of, where, you know, that's our fruit that we harvest in the future from our jobs. But this fruit that we get to harvest is an internal fruit, and it's people that get to know Jesus. And another point to this is that it's our purpose is we're called to be fruitful and multiply. You know, the body of Christ was never meant to be stagnant and just to be in one place. And we look around and we're like, man, yeah, we got enough people in here. We did a good job, right? The purpose of the body is to multiply and multiply and multiply. And that looks like going out and harvesting and planting, right? And so the second point that goes into that is, if not us, then who, right? Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 15 says this, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent?" Paul makes this, I feel like, makes reaching people so logical, right? It's just one after another. It makes so much sense, because if, you know, how do we expect people to know who Jesus is unless we tell them about Jesus? We're the only people who can tell them about Jesus, right? We're the only people who believe in Jesus. We're the only people who can heal in the name of Jesus, right? So if we're not doing the work, what other force out there is doing that work? What else are they putting their hope in? What else are they filling their hearts with if it's not Jesus? Right? It's like no other religion can bring people to eternal life. Right? All these spiritual forces are just meant to put false hope and to distract people from the truth in that that's Jesus died for them, and he loves them so much. You know, we think about how we want culture to change, or we want to see revival in America and around the world, but that's not brought by policies, or that's not brought by laws or politicians. That's brought by us reaching people and changing hearts of people. Revival can't happen. It's not just restricted to a church or a college campus. It's wherever we go and we share the good news. And one verse that really sticks out to me is Mark chapter 2, verse 17. When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." Right? I am so glad that Jesus came here for the sick, right? I was sick, and half of the time I still think I'm sick, but Jesus makes me whole, makes me healthy. And, you know, it just shows that Jesus was here not for people who think they're high and mighty, but he was here for people who know they're broken, who feel outcasted, who are marginalized, who just don't feel accepted in society. And, you know, Jesus says himself that he was here to not bring condemnation to the world, but to bring peace to it. And only through Jesus can those people feel peace. And so only by us going out and planting and harvesting can they understand where that peace can come from. And so that brings me to my third point: how do I reach someone? And I promise I didn't steal this from Pastor Evan earlier. I've written this down beforehand. But I just think, you know, this is something that the Holy Spirit wants us to understand, especially in today's day. And a lot of people tell me, you know, I can't tell someone about Jesus. That's not my gift. I'm not extroverted, or, you know, whatever it is. I'm too anxious to talk to somebody. But, you know, I'm not a preacher. I don't public speak. That's not my thing. If I wanted to be a preacher, I would have done that instead of being a missionary, right? But this is a muscle that I have to practice and have to get used to, and that's the same way as going out and planting and harvesting, right? It's going to feel awkward. It's going to feel uncomfortable the first time we do it, but as we exercise that muscle and we keep doing it, it's going to feel more and more natural. It's going to feel easier. And a great way, right, to do that and to share Jesus with someone is sharing your testimony. Right? No one can argue about your testimony. We can talk with someone who doesn't know Jesus, and we can talk to them about Bible verses. But we can see Jesus, he's arguing with Pharisees about Old Testament scripture. And so we can always argue about the meaning of scripture, but we can never argue about what Jesus has done in our lives. Right? No one can say, well, that didn't happen. Well, no, it did. Jesus did it, right? And when we share our testimonies, we're sharing a part of what Jesus did. We're sharing a miracle, right? In John chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, it says this: "The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." So when we're speaking our testimonies to someone, we're speaking Jesus's life, right? Because we were spiritually dead, and now we're resurrected to eternal life, and that's only through Jesus. And so because we're speaking about Jesus's life into someone's life, we're also speaking his light into that person's heart. And that light that we shine into that person can never be extinguished, right? Verse 5, it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." And so as we're planting and harvesting and sharing our testimonies and shining light into people's hearts, the next person that does it, that light's just going to get bigger, right? And it's going to be a lot harder for that person to turn away from that light. That light's going to be bigger, it's going to be brighter, and it's going to be a lot harder for that person to ignore what Jesus is doing. Another reason why sharing your testimony is a really good place to start is we share in people's weaknesses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 22 and 23, it says, "When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring their weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings." What I really enjoy about that verse is he says, "I try to find common ground with everyone." It's not, "I try to find people to understand me." If people don't understand Jesus, how can we expect them to understand what we believe in? And so sharing your testimony opens that door for us to share in their weakness and for them to understand and have a window of opportunity where they can understand and they can see the light that's in our lives now because of Jesus. And so what's the point, right? I love Jesus, but what's the point of me sharing my faith with other people? And there's a finish line, right? There's an end goal to everything, to all of this. In Matthew 24, verse 14, and the good news will be preached throughout the world, so all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. We have a finish line. We have an end goal. Jesus tells us that he's going to come back when all nations hear the good news. So how do we do that? Well, everything that I've talked about so far, we just go out and we plant and we harvest. We go out in our communities. We can't, like I said earlier, we can't look around and just be content with what we see, because there's hundreds and thousands of people who don't know who Jesus is. And whether or not they come to the building that's the church, or they go somewhere else to have a relationship with Jesus, that doesn't matter. All that matters is that they have that relationship with Jesus. And so that's how we get to the finish line. We share our testimonies with people. We shine that light into their hearts. That light can never be extinguished by darkness. And we just get to harvest that fruit, people brought to eternal life, and we're paid good wages to be harvesters and planters. So why am I going to Estonia? It's great that, you know, Jesus shares these things with me to keep me encouraged and hopefully to keep you guys encouraged, but why am I going to Estonia? And there's a couple of reasons. And we talked about sharing testimonies, so I will share mine. And if we call back, there's three things that Estonia broke my heart, or God broke my heart for Estonia, and that's they're a world leader in suicide and depression rates. 1 in 6 Estonians are sexually abused before the age of 15, and 90% of the people do not believe in a God or a spiritual being. And so my testimony, growing up, I grew up in church, but I never really had a relationship with Jesus, and by the time I was in my teenage years, I kind of just gave up on the whole God thing. I was like, I don't know. I'm not too convinced. It's not making too much sense. And to go back a little bit, at 9 years old, I was sexually assaulted. And at 12 years old, I attempted suicide. But luckily, before I could do anything, my mom, who is sitting there, was able to be in the living room before I was able to do anything, and I'm here today. And going throughout my teenage years, I still struggled with thoughts of suicide and depression. And it was, you know, to a point I talked with my dad this morning about, like, he didn't even want to own a gun because he was afraid of what might happen if there was a gun in the house. And in 2018, I was now 19 years old, and I had a conversation with someone over coffee, and he was telling me about Jesus. And I gave him my spiel of why I think church doesn't make sense and why I don't think God makes sense. And he was the first person to validate what I was feeling. He was the first person to find and share weakness with me. And he said he gets it. He understands, but this is the truth. This is who Jesus is. This is what church is. Church isn't a clique of people who are high and mighty. Church is a body of broken people who are made whole because of Jesus. And so after this conversation, I was like, okay, you know, I'll go to church. And the next Sunday just happened to be Easter Sunday, and I was like, perfect, everyone goes to church on Easter, so I will just go and be there. And that Sunday, I gave my heart to Christ, and I was 19 years old, going on 6 years now, which is awesome. And ever since that moment, my life has completely changed. I finally felt seen, I finally felt loved, I finally felt whole in a way that I never could have before. There was nothing that I could use to fill my heart at that time other than Jesus to to make me feel brand new. And my testimony feels so similar to what Estonia is struggling with. A couple summers ago, in the span of 2 weeks, we had four teenagers take their lives in our neighborhood in Estonia. Right now, there isn't anyone necessarily called to youth on our team, no one that's working with the youth ministry currently. And so earlier I talked about how before missions I was called into youth and young adult ministry, and that's mainly from what I went through as a teenager. And now I'll be able to work with youth. I'll be able to work on college campus, doing outreach on college campuses, and work with the youth of Estonia. I went to my first youth convention last year. I don't know if anyone has been to a youth convention before, but it was crazy to see hundreds and hundreds of students just rush to the altar and rush to the stage and just be so happy and praising Jesus. And, you know, it brought me to tears because my heart broke for Estonia because that's just not there. And so how much work needs to be done for that to be the truth in Estonia? How many kids do we need to reach where they can just run to the altar and praise God because they finally feel whole? They don't feel broken anymore. And so the year I spend in Estonia, I'll be working with youth and young adult, like I said. And how our team operates is out of a coffee shop. So we do coffee ministry, kind of similar to the person who shared Jesus with me over, well, at the time I didn't drink coffee, but it was at a coffee shop. And so there's just something that's special about sitting down and sharing a meal or sharing a drink with someone where you can have deeper talks with somebody. Those social walls are breaking down because you're just enjoying a good cup of coffee or a good food. And so that's kind of how our team operates, how we think about missions is we reach out to the community that we're in and we just build relationships with them. Once we get to a point where we can, you know, feel comfortable, where we can talk about a little bit deeper in what we believe, and we do. And the coffee shop also holds community events where we invite anyone to come in, have a game night. Actually, a few weeks ago, we had our game night for January, and 20 new people showed up to the coffee shop. And, I mean, there's so many great testimonies there. Last year, last Thanksgiving, we had a potluck at the coffee shop, and someone said, "I can't believe this is happening in Estonia. I can't believe people are coming together and sharing a meal." It's so out of their culture because they are such a dark, enclosed country. And so just wanted to, you know, I think that pretty much wraps up with what I'll be doing in Estonia and why I'm going and what keeps me encouraged to keep sharing my testimony, keep sharing Jesus with people. And three things that I want to leave off with, and I'm still support raising. I need 10% more to stay the full year in Estonia from now until April, which is $500 in monthly commitments, which equals to $4,800 in just one time gifts. If I don't get that, I'm still going. Just won't be for the whole year. But that 10% will at least let me stay for the whole year on a very strict budget. So, of course, anything above that is just a blessing. And if you feel led to give, you can, for all of these, if you want to just talk to me in the back, I have a table back there. I'll be back there. Second is just pray. Right, pray that I reach that 10% by April. Pray that I reach more than that 10% by April. Pray for the team that's there. Pray for people in Estonia that they can just feel drawn to the coffee shop, feel drawn to the people on our team, and for them to continue to be a light. One effort that brought up to my attention, there's one more testimony that I'd like to share about the team in Estonia. And I don't know if you guys have met the Smileys. Yeah. Okay, so the Smileys, they are also in Estonia right now, and they're starting a small group in their house. And we had two people who've never read the Bible before read the Bible in their house and are part of that small group. So it's just God is moving there, and just it's just so awesome and so inspiring to see what God is doing. But yeah, just continue to pray for the team, pray for me. And then, you know, whether it's Estonia or whether it's somewhere where you feel like God has placed a call on your heart and you just never knew the opportunity, or even if it's somewhere in the States or just somewhere in our community, please talk to me in the back. I would love to talk to you about what that looks like, what opportunities there are, if even if you want to go on a short term, like just a few weeks, you know, you can feel free to talk to me in the back. And I would love to hear what God has put on your heart. And I think that does it. Yeah. I think I'm done. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Could you guys hold on 1 second? Can you guys reach your hands out towards John here? We're just going to pray for him as a body. I like what you said. You can't scatter seed from the porch. You know, and I think a lot of times we want to stay on the porch and we just want to stay under the covering of our own home. But God has called us to go, which is kind of scary sometimes when he calls us to go. Sometimes he calls us to go just across the street. Sometimes he calls us to go across the parking lot. Sometimes he calls us to go into our workplace, to our families. Sometimes he calls us all the way across the world to Estonia to minister to people. But I think it's cool that John's testimony matches up perfectly with the people that are there. Like, that's insane. And so I think you can feel his heart. And so, yeah, when you leave, make sure that you stop by his... He has the table over there. Make sure that you stop by his table. And if you feel led to give towards that too, let us know. You can actually do it online, and you can just tag in the comments. Go ahead and just put John Crace. We'll make sure that it goes to the right spot, okay? And so just reach out your hands. Lord, we just thank you so much for John. We thank you for his heart for the lost and his heart for the hurting, Father. And we thank you that, man, you took his heart of stone and you turned it into a heart of flesh, Father. And God, I just pray that he'll be able to raise these additional funds that he needs, this $4,800. And I pray that the doors will open and that he will be able to go where he needs to go, Father. We know that you've called him there. We know that you have a plan for his life. We know that you have a purpose for his life, Father. And we see that you've lined all these things up, and he is saying that he's obedient and that he is willing to follow wherever you lead him, Father. And God, I pray that you'll bless him, give him peace, be with his mother as well, give her peace as well. God, I thank you that she was able to come today and she was able to listen to John, Father. And God, I just thank you for the anointing that you have on his life, Father. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen. All right, guys, thank you so much for coming. Have a good afternoon.